This is WGTDHD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Guida Brown, former executive director of the Hope Council, Dr. Steve Brown, retired professor of educational leadership and school law, Dr. Karen Sconsert, chair of the education department and associate professor at Carthage College, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, professor of communications at UW Parkside, and Stephanie Skilba, Vice President for Community and Government Relations at Gateway Technical College. And now, here's today's moderator for Education Matters.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. Recently, WGTD station manager Dave Cole forwarded an email to me. It was a press release about a new initiative in Racine County and read as follows. Racine County, higher expectations to launch early literacy work countywide to create a prosperous future for all Racine County residents. County Executive Jonathan Delagrave is assembling a steering committee of early childhood experts, including parents, to design innovative strategies for improving early literacy in Racine County. Well, this seemed like a really important initiative for Education Matters to cover for our audience. But early literacy is really an area outside my expertise. So today, for the first time in nearly 9 years hosting this program, I have a co-host today, my Carthage College colleague, Dr. Jacqueline Witter-Easley. Jackie is an early literacy specialist who teaches literacy courses to our beginning teachers, as well as chairing the graduate program for reading teacher and reading specialist licenses. She has been an elementary teacher, a children's librarian, and holds an EdD in reading education from Northern Illinois University. She is a published author, most recently of Literacy Moments, Creating Daily Teachable Moments with Beginning Readers. So you can see why she's the perfect person to sort of help us talk about this important effort. So welcome to you, Jackie. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen. It's a pleasure.
Okay. And then Jackie's going to help me ask and follow up on questions to this distinguished group of guests. We actually have four guests today, so I'm pretty excited about this. Yolanda Litke is the Managing Director of Higher Expectations for Racine County, which is a collective impact organization. Prior to joining the team at Higher Expectations, Yolanda was a speech language pathologist in early childhood for Racine Unified School District for more than 10 years. Hi, Yolanda, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for inviting me.
Okay, Amy Shepherd is Director of Early Learning for Racine Unified School District. In 16 years with RUSD, she has served in many different roles within RUSD's early learning programs, from 4K teacher to special education teacher to principal. Thanks for coming to talk with us, Amy.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for inviting me.
Okay. Janelle Decker is the Deputy Chief Academic Officer for Racine Unified School District. As a former literacy specialist, early literacy has been a passion of hers for 15 years. Janelle, thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Okay, and Jeffrey Langlieb, I hope I said that right, is the health officer for Racine County Public Health Division. He has been in his role since September 2021 and has worked in public health in various capacities since 2005. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Okay, so that is a big group of people to tell us about a very big initiative. So who wants to give us sort of the big outline? Whose idea was it? What are the goals of the initiative? What is its reach? Does it go beyond schools? And how will it be funded? Not that that's a lot to say, but maybe one of you can explain it.
Sure. So this is Jeff, and I'll start it off, and I'll hand it off to my colleagues to finish this question up. In October 2022, County Executive Jonathan Delagrave announced in his budget address that literacy was to be a major priority for the county to work on in 2023. In response, he approached higher expectations in several key stakeholders within the county human services to put the wheels in motion on advancing this initiative. Literacy is not just an educational system issue, it's a community issue, and we envision initiatives developed by this committee to extend beyond the reach of schools and embedded into the overall community to support literacy development from birth. The county is helping to fund the work of the steering committee, and future funding for specific initiatives will be determined as time goes on. And I'll hand it over to Yolanda or my colleagues to finish up that statement.
I can jump in on, this is Yolanda. I can jump in on, you know, why Higher Expectations was who the county asked to help with this initiative. And we have had many opportunities to partner with the county. So, you know, because of our kindergarten readiness group, they wanted to partner with us on this initiative. And they came to us looking for an idea. We have had some past experience with a consultant that we are utilizing to help facilitate this initiative. And his perspective is, you know, just coming from bringing national best practices to various different communities on any kind of project that they are working on. So our consultant has worked previously with Racine Unified School District in helping to develop their strategic plan. And one of the things that Higher Expectations is really good at is facilitating and bringing various different organizations together as a collective impact group that Dr. Sconzert, you did mention at the top of the interview. You know, we bring people together to work on initiatives and kind of look at where folks are, you know, working in the same space and how can we bring people together to kind of be focused on a singular issue. So we know that the return on investment is huge in early childhood and it makes a big impact later. So we were really excited to be able to bring steady state impact strategies onto this project and help us generate ideas from the community and how to move this work forward.
You assembled a really large steering committee. I was impressed by the size of it. And so I'm really curious about how it was composed, how you identified and recruited members, and kind of what their roles will be as a steering committee.
Sure. So I can answer that question as well, because that was one of the things that Higher Expectations took on was you know, recruiting the steering committee. You know, we're looking for solutions to change systems, and we're looking for the community to help co-create those solutions. So we want folks that are being impacted by the problem to be at the heart of, you know, driving the solutions that are created to help solve those problems. This is why we were really thoughtful about creating a representative sample of Racine and the steering committee. And we wanted to make sure that we had really important stakeholders in representing the group. So we've got stakeholders from Racine County and public health. We have our area school district represented, and that includes superintendents from the school district outside of, like, still in Racine County. We wanted to make sure that we weren't only talking with Racine Unified teachers, that there's more than one school district in Racine County. So we have multiple different school districts represented in multiple different teachers. So we've got early childhood teachers, folks who are specializing in literacy, and folks who are specializing in community outreach as well. We have the Racine Public Library represented. We have a number of parents that have children that are age birth to eight that attend Racine Public Schools. And we also have childcare providers, nonprofit providers, medical professionals, and also business leaders, because we really wanted to make sure that we had the whole community involved, because like Jeff said earlier, this is a community initiative, not just an educational initiative.
So you've started your design sprint community meetings to help design the program. As I understand, you've already started those. So tell us what you've learned so far.
I'm going to answer this question again. So what we've learned so far, one of the biggest bright spots that we've learned is that, you know, there is significant value in creating a space where community leaders, institutional leaders, and elected officials all come together to discuss issues that are important to everyone. And in the first meeting that we had, one of the feedback that we got from parents was it was really meaningful and valuable to sit down with elected officials and, you know, important leaders in the community where titles were checked at the door and everybody was just coming around to sit at the table and discuss about community issues that impact everyone. And it doesn't matter necessarily what your socioeconomic status is, you know, what station.
So just one meeting so far?
One meeting so far, and our second meeting of six of them will be happening on Monday.
Oh, okay. All right. So tell us what you consider to be the current state of reading readiness in Racine County. What are some of the areas of concern that you've identified?
This is Jeff. I'll take this one. So literacy outcomes historically are typically spoken about in terms of academic proficiency. However, we know literacy concerns transcend all generations in Racine County, and developing literacy skills in the youngest generation starts at birth. We anticipate a significant focus in this area, and adult literacy cannot be ignored as we try to improve early childhood literacy. For example, if a new parent is not confident in their reading abilities, they may be hesitant to engage in literacy activities with their child. This committee will examine literacy needs across the lifespan. Now, nationally and locally, when it comes to literacy proficiency, the COVID-19 pandemic has had a significant impact on student achievement outcomes. When we look at third grade reading proficiency as measured through the standardized testing, we see declines nationwide, statewide, and right here in Racine County. Even our higher performing and highest performing school districts with historically high achievement rates have seen declines in reading proficiency. So that tells us that there's something beyond the educational system in the community that's affecting a child's ability to read outside of what's happening in the classroom. This, of course, illustrates how important it is to address literacy more broadly, while also ensuring we focus more targeted efforts where impacts have been greater. And so we'll follow the data and see where that takes us as far as what needs to be done, where, when, and how.
Okay, thank you very much. I just want to do a reintroduction. You are listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of Racine County's Early Literacy Initiative is archived at WGTD.org. On the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. So one of the challenges of attaining reading proficiency is early diagnosis if there are reading challenges for a student. Is there a diagnostic component to your plan, or if you haven't gotten that far, do you anticipate there being such a component?
I can answer this one, Karen. This is Amy. I'm sure that the literacy committee will, I expect, give recommendation for additional diagnoses, a diagnostic component. Right now, we do have things in place within the school district. We do screen all of our 3- and 4-year-olds who enter the school district using the Ages and Stages questionnaire. That is one piece of our early learning programming that all of our teachers use to work with families. We also have a very comprehensive birth to 3 transition plan into the school district as well, and a comprehensive child find program where we do screen children before they come into the school district, or if families or providers have concerns with development, they can refer them to the school district, and we can start and begin with that process.
Okay, great. So Racine County, I know, has participated in a program which sends a book every month to a child from birth to age 5. Is this the Dolly Parton one? Is that where that comes from? So is this fit into the program somehow, or do you anticipate that you'll figure out a way to make that part of the program?
Yeah, this is Jeff. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Amy. Absolutely. Our committee is interested in developing solutions that enhance the work of existing initiatives and agencies that work in this space and developing new ones. So yes, you spoke of Imagination Library. There's another literacy initiative, which is called Reach Out and Read. And both of those have been implemented widely in Racine County. Those initiatives put books into the hands of parents, and which removes access as a barrier in putting developmentally appropriate books for parents with young children. So we'll examine issues that extend beyond access to books. And in this way, we may be able to develop new initiatives or solutions that work to enhance the programs that are already in existence. Amy, did you want to add on to that?
I was just going to expand that over the years with Racine Unified, we've seen the program expand. It used to be available to just few zip codes, and we've seen that expansion there, which is really exciting. So many of our families participate in the Imagination Library, and it's a great resource.
Right. So I think I can describe it because I did a show about this a while ago, but it's this initiative with Dolly Parton funds it through her foundation. And the idea is when your child is born, you get registered for this free book a month from the hospital. And then you literally just get a book in the mail, age appropriate from birth to 5 years. And they stop coming when they start kindergarten. Is that right? Yeah. So by the time a five-year-old gets to kindergarten, that's a lot of books, you know, so that's pretty great. So there's always books around the house for kids to read, for parents to read with their children, which leads me to the next question, which is, what is the role that you see for the public library as well as school libraries in this initiative?
I can answer this one. This is Janelle. We haven't gotten to that part necessarily in our planning process. The public library is a part of our steering committee, and I can foresee that they will continue to do things centered around emergent literacy and just storybooks and letters and sounds games, trying to do competitions, and also accessibility, things like the bookmobile and getting books into the community if transportation is an issue. We've also done a lot of things partnered with the public library centered around membership. And if, you know, if there's a night or if there's registration or there's parent-teacher conferences, the public library is more than willing to come in and get everyone signed up that wants to be a part of it and help to communicate all of the awesome programming that they do that can go right alongside any of the initiatives that we decide to move forward with. And then in terms of our school libraries, we have talked about with some of our parent ambassador groups, the idea of potentially keeping some libraries open later. So maybe our community schools, we do have three community schools within Racine Unified, and maybe we could change some of our times. So we could have evenings in the library where there is more focus around specific early literacy skills. There would be more access to checking out books right there in their walking neighborhood. So I think really the sky is the limit, but those are just some things that have been thrown around in the past that I think we're gonna try to capitalize on since there's already some momentum for them.
Great. So I realize in looking at these questions, I probably should have had Jackie go earlier, but I'm going to have Jackie step in now and ask the real literacy questions because she knows more about that than I do. So go ahead, Jackie.
Okay, well, I do have a couple of questions. The ASQ-3 that's used in schools, the ages and stages questionnaire, I know in some of my work with Building Our Future, in Kenosha, the concern is that getting parents, all parents, to participate in the questionnaire. What are your plans for reaching out into the community? Because this is focusing on before school, and a lot of great things are happening once they're in the school system. But what is this programs or initiatives plans for getting the word out to every parent and being proactive and not waiting until they're, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, but when they're having children right away.
This is Amy. Jackie, I'd be happy to start answering that question. So again, I expect that the Literacy Steering Committee will help provide some potential solutions. We have so many community partners in Racine that I think it should be fairly easy to provide some idea of where to begin there. We have partnered, working with Higher Expectations and the K Readiness Group has been a great start and a really great beginning. So some of that work did start prior to the pandemic. We were putting together resources, bookmarks for families with scannable QR codes. They were made available throughout the community. They were made available during open houses with the district, in doctor's offices and places like that. So that was a really great place to start. That's a nice piece of information, easy for families to utilize. We also partnered with Higher Expectations when they started the community texting program through Bright by Text. It was also a great way to try and get families in the loop when community things were occurring, when the school district might have opportunities for families to connect other community resources. So, you know, I think building upon some of those opportunities that we have started with, will be a great place for the steering committee to kind of look back and learn from.
Sure. Yeah, I think Bright by Text is a great initiative, or even just thinking about ways to partner with maternity wards in local hospitals and collaborate with ways to start relationships right away with parents is important too. So I'm curious, how do you each have a definition of what is literacy? When we're talking about literacy, we could all be thinking slightly different things.
That's a really great question, because I agree. I know even the state is working on a common definition of science of reading right now, because that's all the buzz, and defining and grounding us all in the same definition is very, very important. So, you know, when we're saying, what is the definition, or what do we think literacy is? Really, it's the ability to read, write, speak, listen, just a way that we can communicate effectively and participate in society. And there are specific components then that is broken down into reading specifically, and writing and oral language and things like that. But it's really reading, writing, speaking, listening, the definition of literacy revolves around.
Yeah, I was, you know, because my background is in speech language pathology, I have spent a lot of time in a lot of these emergent skill areas, right? So because I was working a lot in early childhood, a lot of times when we're thinking about skill mastery, like those kinds of things happen later. So, you know, what Janelle is saying is, you know, with the reading and the writing and or language and things like that, some of those skills are continually developed, right? But there are some things that we're looking at right when a child is born. A child can't read right when they're born, right? But they can hear and be read too. So like when you're thinking about emergent literacy skills, I think about things like the skills that are happening along the way as before you start to actually learn how to read and recognize text. Like a child is going to understand that words on a page carry meaning before they can actually read those words. You know, a child being familiar with holding a book in the right way, turning pages sequentially, being able to identify the front and the back. Those are the things that are really, you know, familiar to me when I think about literacy, because my career prior to what I do now was focused on, you know, the early literacy, early childhood, before children are necessarily reading, but still very much involved in books and literacy and language and all of the things that Janelle was talking about. So it is really good to make sure that we're all grounded in a definition, and then understanding that this learning is a spectrum, and like mastery of these skills is going to continually be happening up through adulthood.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing is that there isn't a science of reading, there are sciences of reading. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely what we need our state to keep in mind when they're thinking of things, that there's so much more than what the science of reading phenomenon, if you want to call it, or the latest thing is really promoting. That's one small piece.
And yes.
Many elements that we want to make sure are happening for our students, such as phonemic awareness, right? So I guess another question would be related to that with phonemic awareness. How do we, that primarily happens before they are ever in school, right? Most phonemic awareness should be nurtured and developed and cultivated by parents and caregivers because it's strictly an oral auditory experience, just developing that awareness of sounds they hear, not even naming the letters that go with those sounds. And that will, you know, research has shown consistently for decades now that's where most children who have a good handle on phonemic awareness will have a success transitioning into learning how to read and what those letters on paper represent, more so than those that haven't had as much exposure. So how do we reach out to parents? And is there a part of your initiative that's going to be about parent workshops and education so that they can be providing some of these naturally in their home, some of these opportunities and experiences around literacy in their own home, in addition to seeking external resources such as the public library and other activities?
Yes, this is Janelle. In our first meeting, that came up right away through a lot of the family members that were participating in our steering committee, that they, once they know more, they do more. And they do want more opportunities professional training on how do I help my child at home? Because just like you're saying, what it looks like in emergent literacy, mainly the literacy from birth to around the preschool years, is a lot of wordplay and rhyming and, switching around sounds and making up silly words and just sitting in a lap and interacting with the story, pointing at pictures and making up their own stories. But do they understand the purpose behind that and why it needs to happen all the time when they're reading the books? Not quite. So how can we get more training out in a matter that is flexible enough for all of our families, since they do work many different hours, sometimes multiple jobs? One thing that we did start over COVID on the Racine Unified website is something called Raising Readers. And what we tried to do on that page on our website is to give just little snippets of what it means to work with your child at home, and then kind of to self-diagnose what stage their child is reading in. Because they might have multiple ages of children in their home, and each age and stage needs a little bit different work. So Raising Readers is something that we're adding to constantly, that has videos and explains things like oral language, how important, James Britton wrote that famous quote, reading and writing float on a sea of talk. And so talking is one of the most important literacy skills that we can infuse into our daily lives with our children. And I think a lot of times that isn't what people think of when they think of literacy in the early years. So they're checking out Raising Readers is a great hub to start. And then we want to brainstorm during the steering committee is where are other places in the community we could go to provide that training. Would we like it recorded? Do we like it in person? Do we like it at the schools? Do we like it at community centers? So I'm really excited for what can come in working with families for that.
Yeah, because again, the real key is finding those families out there who are not yet in the school system, right? Because if they're in the school system, they're going to be checking the Raising Readers website, but they're not going to be thinking about that with a two-year-old at home, right?
Right, right.
Thinking, oh, I don't have to pay attention to that yet. Not literacy, but I mean the school site. But I think also too, what you mentioned is helping parents understand there's an intentionality to it. It doesn't just sort of happen by accident in terms of, you know, having conversations, but being intentional and looking for, dare I say, literacy moments all throughout the day and in your home and at the grocery store. And that, and parents want to do that. They just are craving information on how to do that. And that's what's exciting about the potential for this initiative is to be
I think also, oh, sorry, Jackie. I'm sorry. That's the second time I interrupted you. I just wanted to piggyback on what you were saying, like parents want that information. And I think also what parents want to hear is what you're doing is great. You know, sometimes we just need to tell parents you're doing these things. You didn't know that this was really, really fundamentally important. It just came naturally to you. And look at all of these learning and teachable moments that are happening during this part of your everyday routine that you weren't aware of, like the importance and the significance of what was happening. So I think that's another thing of, you know, making sure that we are engaging parents and meeting parents where they are. Part of, you know, having parents on this committee is finding out where would you like this information to come? Like Janelle said, how would you like to receive it? And that's something that, you know, we wouldn't be able to do if we didn't have parents in our steering committee. So it's really important to be listening to what they say.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm just going to do a quick reintroduction. You are listening to WGTD HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of Racine County's Early Literacy Initiative is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You're invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. I was talking with a group of high school teachers a couple of weeks ago about something different, but one of the ideas they had for engaging parents was to install a laundry facility somewhere in the building where they want to have meetings and deliver some of the programming so that people don't feel like they are trying to make space for another thing. They're waiting for their laundry to finish and then they can participate in any kind of workshop or training that you can offer. I don't know how realistic that is, but it sounded like something I would want to do if I needed to do laundry offsite. So that's just one idea. Go ahead.
I've heard pop-ups in laundromats, food pantries, community centers, places where, you know, parents are going to be, you know, park districts, grocery stores. And just having pop-ups where you could have, you know, either a little story time going for the children with handouts for the parents, that kind of thing. So parents know their child is in a safe space while they're grabbing a few groceries or things like that. It's just a matter of getting that collaboration with community members in those industries to provide that space and think about how, you know, what is the best time for that and how to promote it.
The other thing I remember, I think it was Jeff that mentioned and said that, you know, literacy happens across the lifespan. And there are people in Racine County, like in all communities, who weren't able to master literacy skills in sort of the sequence that we think of as being typical. They might have had their schooling interrupted. They might have had some sort of undiagnosed learning disability that made it so they never felt comfortable reading. So do you have some ideas about how you could tackle adult literacy? And is there a role for the Racine Literacy Council, which mostly works with adults?
This is Jeff, and as far as a specific solution, I think that's to be determined. I think that that's the beauty of this committee is, you know, trying to take into account all the factors that go into early childhood literacy. And yeah, definitely, you know, we need to keep in mind that there may be some parents or adults who need help in order to help their child and help their children. So It's something that we'll continue to explore as a committee and keep at the forefront of the discussion to make sure that we don't miss an opportunity to further enhance early childhood literacy by potentially forgetting about an entire generation of people who might need a little bit of help to help their children. And I'll defer to my colleagues if there are any other comments on that.
Okay. The other population that might require a little bit of extra attention is children who have special needs. And sometimes it's hard to determine that before they start school or unless there's something really, really obvious in their special needs. And then, of course, there are many, many families in our communities who don't speak English at home. So what are some of the special concerns and potential resources you hope to provide for these populations?
Happy to speak to that one, Karen. That literacy steering committee is going to help us provide some of those community solutions. Once children get to the school district, our early learning teachers are very careful to ensure that we remember that all of our children in the three and four-year-old programming are all learning language. So reminding our teachers that, you know, it can help everyone, you know, to see a visual paired with using the word and using lots of new and novel vocabulary to help expose all children, to more vocabulary and, you know, greater background knowledge for things before they become readers. And that also just, it kind of lends itself to remembering that the classroom does need to be a place that is safe for children in order to be able to learn. So ensuring that our routines are consistent and that we're scaffolding learning and we're providing some real life examples of the ideas and the themes that we're learning and bringing in. Also working with our families to, you know, connect them to other families as resources and, of course, to other partners in the communities, too. And that's a huge piece of our preschool programming is the family connection. And we have a day reserved each week that teachers do bring families in to work with them in the classroom or meet them in the community.
Thank you. So we only have about 4 minutes left. So I'm going to give each of you sort of a final word, and then maybe Jackie, if you could send everybody off with sort of encouragement for this effort at the end. So can you tell us anything that you've learned or a new idea that has come up, or maybe even a child that's already been helped or something that's changed in programming, just from the idea of thinking about this so far or the first meeting? And everybody's got their thinking hats on. Okay, Janelle.
Yeah, I can start. I think what I really enjoyed about the first meeting is the fact that we led with empathy and we led with stories. And so you had mentioned that our steering committee was quite large, and it is, but I think it's well designed that way to make sure that we were hitting all the different people in our community, and we learned their story, and then we could connect on that common purpose and just come from a place of empathy and an understanding around certain scenarios or you know, where they think that there's maybe a lack of attention. Another person can understand, oh no, we did actually pay attention, but maybe that wasn't at the right time. And so I just think it got us to a place as a team, as a group, to just all be on the same page and bring our defenses down and our walls down and come all in a level playing field. So that was one thing from our first meeting that I think is really going to help us synergize and work effectively as a team.
Amy?
As a result of our first meeting, our program has a renewed connection with the library, and just thinking about different ways to utilize that space and to partner. They've got some new spaces for us, so we've already began working and brainstorming on how we can get our families to the library and how we can partner there. So again, just leaning on some of these amazing resources that our community already has, and bringing those together again.
Great. Okay. Yolanda?
One of the things that was a really great bright spot for us was to see, you know, we had a school district there, not Racine Unified School District, but one of the other school districts was really interested in the way that we collect data, and I was able to introduce them to our data impact manager, because they are very interested in, oh, you're collecting all of this data on literacy and how children are learning in early childhood and the sequential ways that they are moving through different benchmarks, and was really excited about, you know, potentially partnering and having that opportunity. So that has the opportunity to expand to, you know, a lot of different children in this other school. So.
Great. Thank you. And Jeff?
Yeah, I think for me, it was Yolanda mentioned at the beginning of the meeting how with this council, you sort of check your titles at the door and you all go in there and listen to each other's experiences. And for me, it was particularly helpful as a reminder that it's really interesting to listen to the experience of the people in the community who face these challenges every day in trying to raise their kids, some of the generational issues they're up against, some of the social norms they're up against, some of the just the everyday, hardships of life at times, and just understanding that, you know, when we're devising these solutions, A, it's being done with the community, which is super important, but B, that it's sensitive to the human needs of people out there, and that these strategies we're recommending and doing will actually make a difference for people who, you know, frankly, might not have a lot of time in their day to spend reading with their child and those kind of things. And so we want to make sure we're sensitive to the needs of the community. And I think having those voices present at the table was really, really impactful and helpful for me to hear, and other leaders as well.
Okay, and then I'm going to give Jackie the last word on sort of hopeful words for going forward with this initiative.
Well, just the fact that this initiative exists is hopeful. I just think it's a wonderful idea to leverage all community stakeholders to give parents a voice. We typically think of everyone but the parents and then decide to tell parents what we've come up with, and we don't really have their input. So this is going to be really impactful in the community because of the voice that you're giving to parents. And I encourage you to remember that every parent wants their child to succeed. And they are invested in their children's development and learning and literacy as much as all parents are. And just because they feel maybe overwhelmed or not equipped and unsure and of what to do to develop that literacy doesn't mean the desire isn't there. And so this group will be really impactful for making a difference in that way. And I hope that you'll be able to find interesting data and think outside the typical data. So it isn't just on standardized test scores, but also surveys and talking to teachers as well. And bring in young children, see what they're doing and thinking, and give them a voice too. So I'm excited to hear how this develops and hope to help out if you need me.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, my thanks to guests Yolanda Litke, Amy Shepherd, Janelle Decker, Jeffrey Langlieb, and especially to my co-host for today, Dr. Jacqueline Witter-Easley. You have been listening to WGTV HDFM. I'm your host, Karen Sconzert, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of Racine County's Early Literacy Initiative is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You are invited to listen again, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at WGTD.org. Support comes from the Lake Geneva Symphony performing the final concert of the season Saturday evening, May 20th at Calvary Community Church in Lake Geneva. The program will include Schumann's concert piece for four horns and Broden's Polovsian Dances. Tickets at the door or online.
Support for WGTD comes from the Kenosha County Aging and Disability Resource.